I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the Voice of Hope.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. Each week we come to you with inspiring music and a message from God's Word. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm glad you've joined me today. This program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Recently, we received a report on our broadcasts to Kazakhstan in the Kazakh language. The report told of a brother who was leading a Bible study with other Kazakh believers, and he was using our broadcast as a teaching tool to stimulate discussion and then to instruct others from the Scripture. Being a Christ follower in Kazakhstan isn't easy. This country is one of the top 50 places in the world where Christians suffer the most, and so our broadcasts are able to encourage many people. We praise God for the Church Fellowship in Pennsylvania that's sponsoring these broadcasts to Kazakhstan. You can learn more about Heralds of Hope at our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can join us in working together, winning the world. Now I invite you to stay tuned for my teaching, Looking for a New Home. When our children were younger, there was a neighboring church in our community that had an annual father and son camp out, and we were part of it for several years, and we always enjoyed it, my boys and I. Everyone, except for just a few, slept in tents. We'll never forget the one weekend because it rained most of the time, and some of you know that water and tents don't go well together. Unless you spend a lot of money, your tent isn't truly waterproof. So I remember getting half awake in the night because it felt like my feet were wet. Sure enough, the tent was on a bit of a slope, and the low side had filled up with water. The water got in, but it couldn't get out. My sleeping bag and the sleeping bags of my boys were all soaked at the bottom. And because it rained most of the weekend, there was no time for them to dry out properly. It was miserable. I recall being so ready for that weekend to be over. I wanted to sleep in a soft, comfortable, dry place. I wanted to go home. But you know, many people across the world today have been forced out of their homes. Wars and famine, failed governments, and religious persecution have caused millions of people to look for a new home. Their property has been confiscated or destroyed. Their family members have been lost. And those who are suffering see no point in staying where they are. So they go looking for a new home. Are you thinking about looking for a new home? You should be. Why do I say that? Because I'm thinking long term, beyond this life and beyond our earthly existence. If you're a follower of Christ, then this world really isn't your home. It's just a temporary place to live. And that's what we want to consider today as we continue our study in 2 Corinthians, the first 10 verses of chapter 5. So I invite you to join our study, Looking for a New Home. Now listen as I read those verses, 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 through 10. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In this text, Paul outlines for us the steps in the process of looking for a new home. The first step in looking for a new home is in the market. I've only moved a few times in my life, but the first step was always a recognition of need. Going from renting to owning, or having a growing family, a job change, or relocating to a different community, those are all reasons why you might need a new home. And whether you're looking to rent or buy, you have to be, as we say, in the market. In other words, you have to begin to check out what is available. In our text, Paul relates this idea of being in the market to our focus as Christ followers on what is unseen. If you go back to chapter 4 and verse 18, he writes, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So this is the context for Paul's teaching. And he begins by reminding us that this current dwelling that we occupy is only temporary. It's actually quite fragile. He calls it a tent. Many of us have seen actual tent cities, or at least pictures of them. Homelessness in our inner cities, or refugee camps, are often the setting for large numbers of tents. And they're not made to be long-lasting or semi-permanent. They're easily damaged by the wind, by fire, or by water. And eventually, those tents are going to wear out and need to be replaced. This is also true of our bodies. In talking about this tent that is our current dwelling, the KJV uses the word dissolved. New King James uses the word destroyed. But the original word is actually quite appropriate for the collapsing or taking down of a tent. And so Paul says, "We know that if our earthly house, the tent we dwell in is taken down. Now really, there's no if about it, is there? At some point, our earthly tent will no longer be needed. We will be in the market for a new home. But let's go on. If and when that earthly tent of our body is taken down, Paul goes on to say, a building proceeding from God, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now that wording may seem a bit awkward to you, but it conveys the idea accurately. I believe Mark 14:58 helps us better understand this. These words are recorded as part of Jesus' trial before the Sanhedrin. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. So one temple, or one tent, was going to be destroyed, and another one was going to be built without hands. What is that house built without hands? I believe it is the resurrection body we will receive, the body just like our Lord has. When you study the original wording of this text, you immediately learn that the building or house that God has for us is more substantial than the present tent we're living in. The tent, as I said earlier, is temporary. It will one day collapse and be no longer needed. But look at the upgrade, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And I want you to notice what Paul says. He says, we have. That's present tense. So how can it be that Paul speaks of something still in the future for us as something we already have? I'm not currently living in my resurrection body, are you? Here's the point. Our union with Christ makes this building an actual possession even though we don't yet live in it. Remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And why are we in the market for a new home? Paul writes, in this tent we are groaning, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Now, here, Paul mixes the metaphors of building and clothing. I guess that's not such a stretch for a tent maker, is it? He says, we want to put on our heavenly dwelling place like a piece of clothing. And the word longing indicates not just a desire, but an intense craving. Our union with Christ should create in us a longing to be in his presence. Paul's statement in verse 3 reflects the culture in which he was writing, and it needs some explanation for us. In the Greek worldview, to be naked meant to become a disembodied spirit. So when you die, you just go out there in the ethereal world. Paul explains that our groaning in this earthly tent is not a desire to be unclothed or to become a spirit without a body, but rather to be clothed with our new body, our resurrection body. And the reason is we want what is mortal or what is perishable to be swallowed up by life. When Paul writes of the mortal being swallowed up by life, my mind immediately goes to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul's use of the word katapino means to drink down in one gulp. So the change will be instantaneous. Here are Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is, the living. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is, now listen, swallowed up in victory. Now, there are hints in this text that the apostles regarded the coming of the Lord as imminent. In their minds, it was possible that they wouldn't die before Jesus returned. Part of our groaning in our earthly tent is our natural fear of death. And I'm not talking about the fear of the unbelieving. I'm talking about the fear of how the process will unfold for you and me personally. And so, if death was going to deprive Paul of a body, he would rather have this new being, this new body, come down on him while he was still alive. It would be like putting on a new garment, and that new garment would swallow up the old one. So let me ask you, Are you in the market for a new home? If your focus in life is on the unseen, then you realize that everything you can see or touch is only temporary, and that includes your physical body. And depending on your age, you have a greater or lesser awareness of the inevitable collapse of your earthly tent. But don't despair, because you already own, by faith, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Praise God. Well, the next step then in looking for a new home is under contract. So you've taken the first step. You're in the market. Now what? When you find a place you like, you're ready to sign a contract, right? As a Christ follower, the contract for your new home is already signed and guaranteed. Do you wonder how I can say that? Look at verse 5. Now he who prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The KJV uses the words hath wrought. That's past tense, isn't it? Remember, I said earlier, we are possessors of our new home by faith. And the one who has prepared us for this very purpose, this new form of existence in a new home, is God. He wrote the contract, and he gave us his Spirit as a pledge, a down payment, a guarantee that it will be fulfilled. Now I know we don't normally refer to our salvation or our relationship with the Lord as a contract. It's really a covenant, but it is an agreement. Romans 10:9-13 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are the requirements of the covenant. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. And when you meet those, then God meets his part of the covenant. He saves you. Because of this assurance, you and I can be confident that as long as we are at home among our own people, that is, as long as we're among those who are physically alive, we are away from home where the Lord is. And it can't be any other way. 1 Corinthians 15:50 reminds us, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now this doesn't mean that we have no connection or contact with God. You know we do. We have prayer, we have the Word, and we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But Paul had, and so should you and I, a heavenly homesickness, a strong yearning to be with the Lord. Earlier, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul wrote, there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Now listen, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. This confidence that Paul expressed and that you and I have comes because we walk by faith and not by appearance. In other words, our faith rests on the actual appearance of the heavenly things that are promised to us by our Master. And then the final step in looking for a new home is preparing to move. I have friends who recently bought what was, for them, a new home. But the previous occupants, you might say, just got up and left, leaving behind spoiled food in the refrigerator, junk in the house and in the garage. And not only that, but the place was incredibly dirty. Now, most people I know aren't like that. In the days leading up to their move, they don't trash the place. And when they're ready to move, they pack up all their stuff, and they give the home that they're leaving behind a decent cleaning. No, they may not shampoo the carpets or wash the walls, but they don't leave the place looking like a pig pen either. Paul says in verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." And so as you and I are awaiting the timing of the move to our final home, like Paul, we should make it our goal to live a life that honors God. Paul's use of the word aim isn't proud or egotistical. It comes from a Greek word that means to love what is honorable. Paul's whole life and ministry demonstrate for us that it is right to strive for excellence, to set spiritual goals, and to strive to make everything we do honorable to God. The motivation for this goal is because we will appear before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. The city of Corinth had a Bema. It was a raised platform where the athletes of that day's Olympics were crowned for their victories. And so Paul's audience immediately knew what he was talking about. And the focus here isn't so much on judgment, but on rewards. Now, this certainly is not the judgment of the wicked, and it isn't the judgment of our sins, because Christ already took care of those on the cross. In fact, the words used here don't refer to moral good or moral evil. Instead, what Paul is comparing is what is worthwhile and eternally valuable with what is useless. In 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about two kinds of works: gold, silver, and precious stones, and then he lists wood, hay, and stubble, and says that all of these will be tested by fire. What endures is worthwhile, it's lasting, it's eternal. Whatever burns is lost. As believers, God doesn't expect you and me to forgo the enjoyment of wholesome and earthly things, but we ought to use those things in a way that glorifies Him and points others to Jesus. We ought to spend the bulk of our energy and time on things that have eternal value. So, are you looking for a new home? Or are you satisfied with the tent you're living in? You can dress it up, remodel it, reinforce it. But you know something? It's still temporary. Or do you have an intense desire, a craving, to move from your tent to your new home? Is your new eternal home under contract? Are you remembering that the Holy Spirit's presence in your life is the down payment or guarantee of the fulfillment of that contract? Are you living by faith, confident in the ultimate appearance of the heavenly things that have been promised to you? And finally, are you preparing to move? Is it your highest goal to live in a way that is well-pleasing to your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ? If so, you can be confident in the rewards that await you as a faithful servant of the Lord.
Shout, O glory, glory, hallelujah. Shout, O glory, glory, hallelujah. Shout, Jesus brought us all our blessing. Shout, singing, setting down. Shout, O glory, God abiding and rejoicing in thy love. Shout, O glory. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, choir, for reminding us that we have something to shout about. You know, too often we shout about things that are of little consequence, but we're silent about the wonderful works of God. Well, if this teaching today has blessed or challenged or convicted you, I pray it will result in lasting change in your life. And if you have a comment or a question, we'd like to hear from you. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or, of course, you can send your comment to us to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And you can also use this contact information to request a digital or print copy of today's teaching, Looking for a New Home. To review today's program or to listen to archived programs, just log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen when it's convenient for you. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and then follow us on our various social media platforms. And we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. And of course, you can also mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. It's God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope, and until we meet again,
in the newfound way, the gospel highway leading to the home eternal,
I walk and talk and
walk and talk with the Master every day. When the storms betide, he safely guides me while the blessings flow supernal.
I walk and talk
and talk and talk in the new Jerusalem way.
I walk and talk
and talk
and talk
in the new Jerusalem way.
As I press
along
to the land of perfect day,
at last,
well done,
I shall hear the Master say.
I walk and talk
and talk
and talk
in the new Jerusalem way. While to him I cling, I'll ever sing and tell about the gospel story.
I walk and talk
and talk
and talk
with the Master every day.
Then forevermore
I shall adore him over in the land of glory.
I walk
and talk
and talk
and talk
in the new Jerusalem way.
I walk
and talk
and talk
and talk
in the new Jerusalem way.
As I press
along
to the land of perfect
day,
at last,
well done,
I shall hear the Master
say.
I walk
and talk
and talk
and talk
in the new Jerusalem way.
I walk
and talk
and talk
and talk
in the new Jerusalem way.
In the new
Jerusalem way.
I walk
and talk
and talk
and talk
in the new